Well, good morning, and a very warm welcome to you this morning for regulars and visitors alike. As we, most of us are all aware, there will be tea and coffee and a few biscuits and things actually through in the lower hall there for anyone who has the time to go through. Unfortunately, I'll need to dash away, so one day I'll get my tea and my biscuits. But it's lovely to be back, lovely to be with you this morning. Now, there's a lot of intimations, so I'm going to go through them quite quickly, so pay attention. Livingston players, the junior cast rehearsals are starting today at 1:30, so I expect you all to be there. Adult cast, the adult cast rehearsals are tomorrow at 7:30 through in the hall. So it's all starting up again. It's winter season for Christmas. If you are able to help out at the Jam Club, Louisa's looking for there's a new session here, so please speak to Louisa at the end of the service. If you can help her with the Jam Club, you lot. There's joint session meetings coming along, September the 1st at 9:30 in Livingston, for a prayer breakfast and a time of prayer for the congregations and parishes. The Livingston Kirk session will then meet about 11 a.m. to discuss business. And this replaces the scheduled Livingston Kirk session meeting, which was due on Wednesday, the 5th of September. So if you can make it along on the 1st. And then there's another, both sessions will also meet at 7 p.m. on the 5th, that's Wednesday the 5th, at Ardeer Church. And there's a joint session there as well, and a conference with the Reverend Alan McWilliam from White Inch Church in Glasgow. And this is to work towards a shared vision, taking into account the instruction from the General Assembly this year. Alan McWilliam, of course, who's up in Rochese at the moment, trying to plant a church in that area. He planted his church in White Inch. The Ministry of Healing, this next Sunday coming at 7 p.m., Sunday the 2nd, here in the church. Dave likes to lead a healing ministry, and it's a lovely, intimate service. If you want to come along to that, please come along and support it. Our Dear's Chance to Thrive, their walk together, come and join them every Wednesday at 11 a.m. They meet in Our Dear Parish Church Hall. I think I intimated this the last time, and when I got down to Our Dear, they said, we don't meet every week, we meet once a month. But I think they've actually changed it now to every Wednesday. Improve your well-being and your fitness. Yeah, well, maybe I should be going along to that too. As a get-together, come along and enjoy some soup and sandwiches and home baking, tea, coffee with others in the community on Wednesday the 5th, very busy day, in Ardeer Parish Church Hall, and that's 11 till 2, and all are welcome. And now this is a new thing, the Church Homeless Action North Ayrshire, CHANA. They're starting up in Kirkgate Church in Saltcoats, and they're basically opening the doors for homeless people and those who want to come in for a wee bite of something to eat and a bit of encouragement on Friday the 14th of September. So if anyone's available to help out with that ministry, could you call that number there? For those who are listening to a recording, it's 07585665751. And the shoebox appeal's coming round again. It's that time of year. I see I've got it here, celebrating 25 years. Oh, Christmas is only round the corner. And it's the shoebox. So any shoeboxes you've got, raid your attic for them, because they're going to be brought along here and for Blythewood Care. Our harvest service again is on the 23rd of September. And that's it. Now I can sit down. No, I can't. The peace of Christ be with us this morning. As we are gathered, Jesus is here.
Thank you.
We're going to be looking at love this morning, and I chose from Ephesians 3, our call to worship today. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all fullness of God. And the first hymn, although the words seem a bit unfamiliar to you, the tune should be okay. It's "I Will Tell the Wondrous Story, Lavish Love, Abundant Beauty." Beautiful words, beautiful words. Let's join our hearts and minds together in prayer. Let's pray. Loving Lord God, we come before you this morning acknowledging your sovereignty, your greatness and your power. You are our fortress and our strength in all of life. In all of our struggles, you are our rock. We thank you from the depth of our very souls for who you are and what you have achieved and will yet achieve in our lives. Although we desire much, you deliver what we need when we need it. Lord, in your great wisdom, you prepared us for your coming in your Son Jesus, who came to bring us the gift of salvation for all who would hear and believe. And we thank you that you renewed your great covenant of love with us, your children, and heirs to the throne of grace. We acknowledge too your wonderful counselor, your Holy Spirit. And we welcome you here beside us today
as we bring ourselves to worship in your holy name. Creator God, Lord of all, Lord of the whole cosmos, great Jehovah, three in one, hear the humble prayers of your children. Savor the melodies of the hymns that we sing to you. Dwell close by our sides when we speak direct to your heart in prayer. Holy Spirit, expand our spiritual understanding that we may see more of our Lord in Scripture, that we might understand more of the writings of the inspired authors who wrote our holy books in your Bible. Help us by your Spirit to strengthen our faith now and throughout this coming year and beyond. When we stray too far, bring us back safe. When we err, lovingly rebuke us and set us on the straight pathway once more. And when we act selfishly, Lord, by your Spirit, open our conscience to shame us, that we might correct our ways of life, where we hold on to worldly things too closely, and where we hold too loosely the bonds of love, joining us to your heavenly realm. Father, work upon us according to your good pleasure. May you continue and indeed bring to completion the good work you have begun in each one of your people. May you break our desire to sin and make us eager to do what is good. And in all things, may you be honored and glorified in Jesus' name, we pray. Let us say the words together of that great prayer Jesus taught when we say, Our Father, art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning is very well known to you. It comes from 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 to 13, and Louise is going to read that for us.
If I only speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonour others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesize in part, but when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror, then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love.
Amen. May God bless this reading to our souls this morning. Well, I wanted to focus on love this morning. I could have started basically by giving you John 3 and 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that's whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And I could have left it at that. Well, why don't you, Brian? I hear you saying. No, you're not getting away that easy. I'd spent quite a few months looking at the Israelites, looking at the Judeans, looking at the God who was righteous and holy, who
punished his people for their sin. We had a sermon maybe a month or so ago, where I was talking about repentance and sin. And I just felt I wanted to counterbalance that today by talking about God's love, God's true love. And that's why I chose that call to worship, Ephesians. You know, we don't know, we cannot understand how much love God has for us, how high and wide and deep God's love is. We're going to sing about that in a minute. But I wanted to ask a question. I see you've got the Jam Club in this morning. I just want to ask you, do you love me? See, that's quite embarrassing, isn't it? You say, well, I don't even know you. What do you mean I love you? You see, there's lots of different types of love. I don't mean like, do you love me? You know, like, kind of smoochy love. I don't mean that kind of thing. Or do you love me like you love your mum and dad and your granny and grandpa or anything like that? But just, do you love me? And the word for it is agape. It's a Greek word. And it kind of, in the older Bible, it's called charity. So do you like to give me charity? Do you like to give me that? But you know, it's deeper than that. It's an awful lot deeper than just giving charity. It's about honoring people. It's about not just liking me, not just liking the way I dress, not just liking my hairstyle, not just liking the fact that, you know, like a pop star that they can sing, or you know, when you say, oh, I love Kylie Minogue, you know, well, maybe you don't know who Kylie Minogue is, but it's my generation. So I'll try another one then. I love Justin Bieber. You know, maybe you don't. No, I don't know that one either. I love Spangles. Who loves? You've never heard of Spangles either. What was that wee yellow one that you used to get? Oh, love that. But that's different, isn't it? You're actually using that word in a funny way. What we're actually talking about in Christian love is deeper love than that. It's a compassion. It's a care. It's an unselfish love. It's a love that says to the people, I'm not going to ask anything in return, you know. I'm going to give you this because Christ loves me and I want to show you Jesus' love as well. And it's that depth of love that we are to have as Christians. So when I ask you, do you love me? You're supposed to say, oh yeah, of course I do. Because if you're Christian, you're supposed to love me like I love everyone here. I'm not saying I like everyone here, but I've got to love everyone here. I've got to agape love everyone here. You know, there's some people you just can't like. They're just, no matter how much love you give them, just still the same. And we call them grace makers. But you've got to do that. It's that depth of love that they give. And we're going to sing about that in a minute. And I thought, because I love you so much, that I brought a sweetie for you this morning. Oh, isn't that nice? I'm not sharing them out. I'm only giving them to the Jam Club. I have to save it. You know what? I love you so much that these are the sugar-free ones. No, they're not sugar-free. They're reduced sugar. So can I give these to Louisa, and she'll give you them as a wee reward at the end. Oh, go and have a hand for there you are. But it is. It's love, and we're going to look at that in a wee while. In fact, we're going to sing about it just now. And I don't know if you've ever heard this song before. Have you heard this song before? God's love is deeper. Yeah, has anybody sung that? God's love is deeper than the deepest ocean. Once I get myself organized here. God's love is wider than the widest sea. Now, there's actions to this, but I don't know if we're going to get too much of it. God's love is... what does it start with? God's love is wider than the widest sea. No, it's no. It's deeper than the deepest ocean. Then it's wider and then it's higher. You know the actions to that. So if I see a wee bit of half-hearted hand movement, I'll know that you've sung it before. We always get the half-hearted ones. I think we should stand for this, shouldn't we? Because you can't dance if you're sitting down. Okay, let's stand and sing this song. So you get the gist of the tune. God's love is deeper than the deepest ocean. God's love
is wider than the widest sea. God's love is higher than the highest mountain, deeper, wider, higher. It's God's love to me. Then we go on to grace. God's grace is deeper than the deepest ocean. God's grace is wider than the widest sea. God's grace is higher than the highest mountain, deeper, wider, higher. It's God's grace to me. How about joy? We do joy. God's joy is deeper than the deepest ocean. God's joy. Good. Let's go peace then. God's peace. Deeper, wider, higher. Deeper, wider, higher. Deeper, wider, higher, is God to me.
Well done, I saw lots of actions going on there. Somebody even got trounced on the head with one of the actions. Never mind, we'll pray for your healing in a moment. Let's just pray over our youngsters before they go to their summer. I think it's at Jam Club start next week, isn't it? Yeah, okay. Heavenly Father, thank you for our young folk among us today, and thank you that the schools are back now, that all our children are back. We thank you for safe journey, for traveling mercies for them. We thank you that they are refreshed and ready to go. And we thank you for all who went on holiday this summer, who are now back with us and ready to do a winter season. But for our youngsters, we just pray that over this coming few months, that through the church and through school and through family and friends and relationships in our community, that they will begin to understand if they don't already, and they will begin to mature into the love of God, and that they will be able to show that love of God to others around them. So we ask now for your blessing to be upon them in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Okay, we'll let you go to wherever you want to go and eat your sweetie. And as the children leave for their summer club or their school, we're going to uplift our offering for the work in God's kingdom. Your offering will now be received. Shall we join our hearts and minds once more in prayer for others, in our prayers of intercession, for our world, for our community, and for ourselves. Loving Lord God, we know you are a God and a good God who answers prayers in your time and according to your will. This morning, Father, we thank you for all the blessings that you give to us, for the joy in our hearts of being Christ's ones. We thank you for the blessings of a roof over our head, for food in our bellies, and for clothing on our back. And Lord, we bring this token of our love offering to you this morning, and we commit it into your care. We commit it into the care of those who would distribute it wisely for the furtherance of your kingdom. Your kingdom as it grows here on earth, that is here now and yet to come. And Father, in this world, having said that, there are those who don't have a roof over their head. There are those who are refugees. There are those who have felt the sharp sting of war. We think this morning of the Rohingya and the suffering there in that enormous camp of refugees on the Myanmar problems that are going on there. But we also look to the economic migrants, people who are drowning off the coasts of Africa, people who are walking all the way from Venezuela into Peru and Brazil and Colombia and various places. Lord, there are millions and millions of people displaced at this time. And we ask for your comfort to be with them, for your resources to be with them. Lift them, Father. Be close to them this morning. For they touch our hearts, and we feel our compassion and our love go out to them as we pray. And Lord, there are people in India who at this particular time are suffering from some of the worst floods they've had in 25 years. In about 100 years for that matter of it. So, Father, for those who have lost loved ones, around about 500 or so, we think of them and we think of their families and we pray for them this morning that your comfort will be with them, that your peace will be with these nations. And, of course, there's war-torn areas that still go on in Yemen and Syria and all these small wars that go on around our world that we never hear too much about. But, Father, there is a lack of peace in our wonderful earth that you created. So, Holy Spirit, will you travel over our world and fill the streets like a soothing balm, like a peaceful balm, and bring love where there is hate, and bring goodness where all we see is bad times. We think of the church in this world as well, and just in the headlines how the church has let people down in certain areas, through abuse, through neglect. And Father, we raise these issues before you, especially for the victims and their families. And we pray for comfort and peace to be with them too, and a healing process for that happened to them, as furthest from the truth of the love of Christ as it could ever get. So we bring them before you this morning too. And as we come, as we saw in the intimations this morning, Father, we're starting up lots of things again. The church is starting up lots of things. The presbytery are starting up. And Lord, we pray into all these things for the new sessions that are coming along, that your wisdom and your spirit will come alongside those who are charged with the legalities, who are charged with the administration, who are charged with the running of these things, that your spirit, your glory will be given for all these things that we have to take part in over the winter months. And Lord, there are those we love dearly in our church and in our families and in our communities. And some are waiting to go into hospital. Others have been. Some are worrying about tests. Some are recuperating. And Lord, we ask for your hand of healing to be upon them, for your hand of comfort and peace to come alongside them.
the peace that passes all understanding. We're only human, Father, we do worry. But Lord, will you quell that today? Will your spirit travel to those we love? And we bring their names before you now in a short, short time of silent prayer. We love you, Father. We love you, loving Heavenly Father. May that love extend and grow and mature among us. We thank you for listening to our prayers this morning, all those that are spoken and those of the silent prayers of our heart. And we bring these prayers in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I suggest we remain seated for the next hymn, which is Make Me a Channel of Your Peace. Heavenly Father, we turn to you. Once again, I ask you now for the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus, by your Spirit to rest upon every mind in this place, in order that the perception of what I have to say will be heard, received, applied as you intend. Cleanse my tongue that I will be your transparent instrument to say everything that needs to be said, nothing that doesn't need to be said. And I pray that I will be very, very clear, and that this will bring great honor and glory to your name. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The King of Love has come. Today's passage from the Bible in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 to 13, is probably one of the most read popular passages in the New Testament. I was at a blessing for a wedding yesterday down at Maybole, and guess what? This was the passage that was read. There is a little introduction to that passage on love. And I just wanted to point it out. It sometimes comes at the end of verse 12 and it says this, "And now I will show you the most excellent way." And then it goes into the reading that we had this morning. It is popular. We hear it at many weddings, don't we? We hear it. I've even used it at funerals. It is a lovely, lovely piece. But you know, Paul wasn't writing this letter to the church in Corinth so they could use it at a wedding. Maybe they did, I don't know, but it wasn't per se for a wedding. When he states that he wants to instruct them in an excellent way of life, he is correcting and rebuking those Christians in Corinth that are causing strife and division in the church, and for the way that they're abusing the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He's instructing them again in the Christian way. Now, I don't intend to go through every verse, every one of the 15 or so, love is patient, love is kind, because each one of them could be a sermon in itself. Yes, of course, love is kind, but it's also to be firm at times. So I do want to explore briefly what the most excellent way of love is that Paul speaks of, and why it's the most important gift or blessing from God bestowed upon Jesus' followers. It's bestowed on us. We are loved by God, good or bad. What we do with that is to us. Now, Deirdre, for those of you who know her, my wife, had been through some serious ill health in the past, around the turn of 2012, 2013. And I'll say a little more in testimony on that subject later, and by Deirdre's kind permission, of course. You see, Deirdre and I at that time felt the Christian love, that sacrificial, charitable love given to us in all manner of ways from our Christian brothers and sisters. And it has to be said, from non-Christian friends as well. So many of you perhaps have been on that receiving end of Christian love as well in times of trouble. And so you'll understand how we feel. It can be a life changer, a wake-up call to love more, to get involved more, to give more. But anyway, to our passage from Scripture, Paul describes love here as an action word. It's a choice of free will to do good works. He doesn't relate this love to emotional feeling per se, but for us to be involved with humanity, we probably cannot divorce ourselves from all emotion when we are called to love, as Paul describes. He gives us 15 verbs associated with that love in the early verses of this passage. But picture this. Who remembers the Peanut cartoons and Charlie Brown? Charlie Brown. "Lucy, you must be more loving. The world needs love. You have to let yourself love to make this world a better place." And his friend, Lucy, she whirls around and knocks Charlie Brown to the ground. And she screams at him, "Look, blockhead, the world I love, it's the people I can't stand." If we're really honest with ourselves, we sometimes find it very hard to love the way that Paul tells us. Sure, we have a charitable feeling of giving to the world, our poor brothers and sisters in need and suffering because of their faith. But what about the people in our own street, our own family, our own community? Can we kneel in the gutter, so to speak, to pick up the fallen, the addicted, the unlovable, if such a thing is possible? Now, these are rhetorical questions I ask myself over and over again. C.S. Lewis was so moved and intrigued by this passage that he went on to write a book explaining what love this could be. And he wrote The Four Loves, in which he identified four different kinds of love originating from the Greek words. And let me briefly outline the differences. Storge love. That is a love that we see in families. That's what I was talking about earlier with the jam club, about a mother to a child, a brother to a sister. It's a type of love that is outward looking, but if you're a parent, you're not really looking for much in return. You really do hope you're going to be their best friend, but you're not really their best friend as they're growing up. You're their mum, or you're their dad,
or your granny or grandpa. So sorge love is a kind of family love. And then, of course, philia love. Philia love is your sometimes called platonic love. It's the love of mates, of a good mate, of a good lads and lassies. And you say, you know, in philia love, you can choose your friends. You can't choose your family. So philia love sort of comes along in that category. And of course, there's eros love. And we get the word in English for erotic from the Greek god Eros, who we know better in the Latin as Cupid. And he was reputedly the son of Aphrodite. And of course, that brings a circle here, because Aphrodite's temple was set on about a 575-meter rock overlooking Corinth, which is what's happening here. Aphrodite was well-worshipped and brought lots of economic benefit to Corinth. So we have this to contend with as well. But it's a romantic kind of love. As we know, it's a sexual romantic love between two people, and it has nothing to offer anyone outside that relationship. It is very inward focused. So it's not that type of love that we're looking at here. And of course, as I mentioned earlier, the type of love, the fourth type of love that we're looking at is agape love. And agape from the Greek word. And this is a love Paul is referring to in this passage. It's the word that's used most often in the New Testament when we talk about love. It's an active love. And we see it being manifest in Christ's acts of compassion and charity to those in need. Even those we don't particularly like, whether we come to judge that or not. Agape is a chosen state of being. It's a committed love which takes a deliberate decision of our free will to act for the good of another. It's selfless. It's not codependent. We don't look for anything back. And of course, that whole love Jesus made manifest for us by his sacrificial love on the cross, his resurrection and ascension. No love, no greater love has man than to lay down his life for his brother or sister or whoever that happens to be. But agape love will speak the truth, even if that truth hurts at times. It's a holy, it's a pure, it's a true, and it's always good. It is the highest form of love, because God is agape love, and whoever abides in him will begin to produce that kind of love. Agape love flows from the abundant, overflowing, and unconditional love of God, because God is love. And Jesus commands Christians to embrace that agape love, which reveals to the world the true nature of our God of love. You won't go home today without remembering the word love, because I've repeated it so often. The King James Version of the Bible, as I said, it sometimes makes this love, it says charity. But it is more than that. It's deeper than that. It's a joyful and it's a spiritual love that grows in our lives by the grace of God. However, it's not a love that sits easily with injustice. Jesus wasn't backward and coming forward about chastising those who were lording it over others. Remember. But for us, Christian agape love is so special because it's born of the Holy Spirit working in us and through us. So agape love in Christian circles rises above other forms of love because of its divine nature. Love divine, all loves excelling. In John 13, verse 34, a new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. And you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. And that love must start in the church, because Paul was speaking primarily here to the church. But I'm using it to speak to the church, but also to look at going outwards with that love as well into the community. But it needs to start in the church. It must be between us and among us. And what message do we give to the world with splits and disunity, arguments, and frankly, ungracious acts of bitterness and gossip outside of these walls? John also tells us if we don't have love, you know, we're not of God, because God is love.
1 John 4 and verse 8 says this, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. The love listed in 1 Corinthians, it reflects the very nature of Jesus Christ. Indeed, if you put the name of Jesus in front of some of these, Jesus is patient. Jesus is kind. Jesus does not envy. He does not boast. But then, if we really challenge ourselves and we put our name in front of these verbs, Brian is patient. I wish. Brian is kind. Sometimes. Brian does not envy. Sometimes. You see what I mean? Brian does not boast. He's not proud. He's not rude. He's not self-seeking. He's not easily angered. Sometimes. Not a lot of the time. I find it quite difficult. This is a challenge to live up to this standard that Paul gives us. Why then does Paul say that love is the most important of faith, hope, and love? Why does he say that? Well, shouldn't faith in Jesus or the hope of a life ever after not rise above love? Paul, in the latter verses, is explaining, you know, that all the gifts that we have and are seeking now in this world, they're eventually going to disappear. But love will remain. Although we need those gifts of prophecy or tongues or knowledge in this life, at the return of Jesus, they're not going to be necessary. Our world now, with all its imperfections, is going to be put aside. And these gifts that come to maturity when Jesus returns, and then only love will remain and be necessary in the kingdom of God when it's fulfilled. You see, we can have mountains of faith. Lots of us here have had faith for years. It's a deep faith. We've got loads of it. And we've got an abundant amount of hope. Of course we hope that eternal life is there for us. But if we don't have and give agape love out from ourselves, we have nothing. For those two, faith and hope, are in essence pertaining to us. They're internal. They're for us. They're ours. Sure, we can encourage by people watching us. But if we don't, love is the only one we give outwards. Agape love is an outward-flowing love. In short, agape love is missional. It gives testimony of the Father's heart for humanity. On December the 27th, 2012, Deirdre was found to have a cancerous tumor in the upper part of her colon, which was quite aggressive. And her health was going downhill very quickly over the Christmas period. The staff at Crosshouse Hospital, from the porter to the specialist consultant, everyone concerned were absolutely fantastic. Now, I know that's not the picture for some people, but it was for us, and we felt really blessed. Literally from the diagnosis through hospitalization and the operation to being back home to the fireside, it only spanned a few weeks. I was amazed. But it felt to us like months. And how did we cope with such shocking news? How does anyone cope with bad news? Well, Deirdre and I decided that there would be no secret about this condition and that we would stay positive and prayerful at all times. But what's important here is we were totally and utterly astounded and made to feel so humble was because of the overwhelming support, the prayers and the help offered and given that we experienced over that trying time and ever since, to be fair. If ever there was an example of agape love, then we have been in its direct pathway, and it is an awesome, awesome force to behold. We were prayed for by the church, even Christians we know in America, Australia, Canada. Cards flooded in, appointments and procedures run like clockwork. Cooked food arrived at our door when we just got back from the hospital. God's agape love manifesting itself through our brothers and sisters in Christ and members of the family. There will be some among us now who are in need. And I know there are some among us this morning who are in need, whose anxiety and worry is growing. And I have friends who are going for tests. They're having operations in the next few days. And they're struggling really badly with illness. And with compassion, our approach is clear. To do what we can when we can. And to comfort and to build up. And to allow them to build up their confidence again for those who are feeling down. Will you go on suffering today because you feel too insignificant or humble to bother people, or embarrassment prevents you from asking for prayer or help, and so you suffer in silence? If that's you, or you know someone in need, well, just let me say, you know, there are many Christians who would love to pray with you and pray over you. And next Sunday evening, when Dave does his healing ministry, that's a time, a very intimate time, where people can come and stand up in front of the church and Dave will pray over them. Many who just want a chance to offer you that agape love. If that's you today, it might just be the remedy and the blessing and the encouragement that you need. God made us to be a community, a family, to help each other in good times and in bad. In the early church, just after the apostolic age, the Christians would gather to meet together and they'd look out for one another's needs. Tertullian, an early Christian author and Christian apologist from Carthage, wrote that Christian deeds of love were so noble that the pagan world confessed in astonishment, "See how they love one another." Can those outside our church today say such things of us? As a church family in Stevenson, I know that you do many charitable things already for those close to home and for those across our world. Yet it's incumbent on us as Christ followers to seek out new imaginative ways to meet the needs of the impoverished in our society. Poor material wealth, poor in health, poor in spirit. What better evangelical tool do we have at our disposal but to love all those we meet in this life and give of our time, our talents, our money selflessly where and when we can? If others can truly say of us, "See how they love each other," perhaps that the joy of being a Christian will be so infectious that all men will know that we are Jesus' disciples. If you say you love God, then you must love your neighbor. If you love your neighbor, it's plain you love God. As Paul so rightly puts it, "And now I will show you a most excellent way." Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we acknowledge that you are the true font of love. And that you love us so much that you sent Jesus as a love offering on the cross. Father, help us to be Christ-like in our love for others and enable us to become selfless, that you and others may become more in our thoughts and actions. As we go through this week, we ask that you remain close to us and by your Holy Spirit, reveal to us the places where you would have us make a difference to someone's life. For our inheritance, give us the lost, the poor, the suffering, that we can take your agape love into our community and our nation. In Jesus' name, amen. Love divine, all loves excelling. May God, of endurance and encouragement, grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let us go in the strength of God, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be with us and remain with us now and always. Let there be love shared among us.